Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Comic-Con Stars. We have a special night tonight. This is apparently our 53rd episode, which means we've been on for one full year of craziness and fun with the amazing. We've made it. We're still all talking to each other. Yes, Comic-Con Stars featuring Papa Stroh. Feature Papa Stroh, Maestro, Dave Atwell, and now the addition of Greg Bo Watson. We just are going to have a great time
tonight.
There goes
the neighborhood.
The neighborhood went when I showed up. Dave, come on. Anyway, you know, it's going to be wonderful. Tonight we've got two guests that are friends and have great stories to tell and to talk about. A little bit later in the show, we're going to have Will Williams, whose film No Child has just won the Hope Film Festival in Texas. And he was on a cable network last night getting rave reviews for that film and for his performance. He's, of course, a winner of Distinguished Actor at the Up All Night Film Festival. We have another distinguished actor with us, Papa Stroh. Maestro, how are you doing today?
Doing wonderful. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Doing great. We're all fired up. I can tell that. Let's see. So we've got Will Williams coming on a little bit later, and our first guest tonight will be Sam DeLoach, who's a Bigfoot researcher from the Bristol, Tennessee, Virginia area. He's going to be one of our featured speakers at CryptoCon, Charlotte CryptoCon, which will be September 30th through October the 1st. A lot about that I'll be able to relay in just a minute. I want to say, first of all, Papa Stroh, thank you for that wonderful show, for having Sunny from the Glow Girls on last night at WCW Retro. Just marvelous time.
Oh, absolutely. And what a great interview that was. And, I mean, Sunny really gave a lot of insight, and it was really a pleasure to have her on the show.
Well, I appreciate being on there with you, and I think everybody that was on there had a grand time. We were rocking and rolling, so that was a great show. And now we're back here to Comic-Con Stars. I want to say, let's see, I've said hello to Papa Stroh. Dave Atwell, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, what is going on? Everything is going good here. Like I said, getting up with the news about this storm, because if you live anywhere near the Carolinas, you know they don't call us Hurricane Alley for nothing. And when you live about 20 minutes from the water, the ocean is nice until it's in your house.
Yeah. Well, I believe you're the one that told us as we were chatting right before we got on the air. You were telling us how it looks like the hurricane might be missing the South Carolina coast and the Myrtle Beach area where I am. Is that what you perceive from the weather forecast?
Yes, sir. It looked as if it's going to blow over the entire state of Florida. Florida's the one that's really going to be in bad shape. But it's going to go through Florida, up through Georgia and South Carolina, and then go through the western side of North Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, and then you have it reaching Ohio. The problem with this storm, though, is that it's 600 miles across. So, you know, it's like I was telling them earlier, if it goes through Myrtle Beach is, what, 126 miles from here. If it's south of Myrtle Beach by, say, 50 miles, we're still getting hammered with it. So we might not totally be out of the woods, but it darn sure doesn't look like we're going to get that big 20-foot storm surge that always seems to come with hurricanes here in the Carolinas. So, but hearts out to Florida, anybody listening, and our friends out that way, because those folks are going to have a bad weekend, to say the least.
Amen.
Yep. Well, we'll just hope for the best and keep making it another day. Greg Bo Watson, how has your day been today?
Oh, it's been crazy as always, but I'm getting better now that I'm on with you guys. And I even mean that to you, Dave Atwell.
A little love, man.
Just a little bit of love for Dave. That's a great thing. All right,
my man Dave.
That is good, and we're all, I guess we'll all be pretty much together this weekend and on Sunday at Florence Comic Con, so it will be a Hopefully a red letter day, assuming all the weather takes care of itself, and we hope that nothing bad happens to anybody. So hope to see everybody, you know, most everybody on this call should be there. And I will say greetings to Sam, our guest tonight. How are you doing, sir?
Doing very fine, sir, and yourself?
We're really moving along on our, I guess this is our anniversary show. Since it's our 53rd show, it'll be our anniversary show tonight, and got a great cast and crew on here. So tell us, you are a Bigfoot researcher. I know Dave Atwell just cannot wait to talk more about Bigfoot, and I can't wait either, because this Bigfoot and space aliens and everything and the paranormal are our theme as we head into Charlotte CryptoCon. So Sam, why don't you get started and tell us a little bit about your research and what you found and maybe what you haven't found. And I'm involved with Darth Bill Lancaster, who's been on our show before, great guy. So I'm going to turn the floor over to you for a little bit. Just start talking to us.
Oh, thank you, Dr. John, and thank you guys for having me on this evening. It's a pleasure to be on here. My name is Sam DeLoach. And I am a researcher out of Kingsport, Tennessee. Can you guys hear me?
Sounds like somebody's got a TV on.
What channel?
Oh, I cleaned it up.
Oh, yeah, you better.
I've got myself on mute, so I think I'm clear.
Sounds like Golden Girls.
All right, Sam.
Sounds like Golden Girls.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. That is so weird. I'm in a room by myself. Okay.
All right.
It
sounds like we're all clear now.
In my head.
Yeah, I do.
Yes,
it's Bigfoot. They're on my bed. Where the sun that I wore today.
I am. I'm a researcher out of Southwest Virginia. And I'm a researcher out of Southwest Virginia, and I have a group called the Mountain Empire Cryptid Research Organization, and it consists of four core group members, and Darth Bill, or I know him as Bill Lancaster, as being, my partner in crime on everything we do. He's a core member, Charlie Lawson, which will also be a featured speaker that Dr. John has going on the Bigfoot Day at Bays Mountain Park in Kingsport, Tennessee. Charlie will be a speaker there, and Matt Dell. And Matt is also another researcher within our organization. And we concentrate on the Mountain Empire region consisting of Kentucky, Virginia, and Tennessee. And my part of it is on High Knob, Virginia, and that's where a lot of my research, basically all of my research, is done on my side, is in High Knob, Virginia. And we also associate with other groups as well and research with other groups. But the way that I go about research, guys, is, you know, I take a very, very logical approach. So does my team, and that's a good thing about it. We all think the same. When we go out, we don't look at everything as being Bigfoot related. Matter of fact, we think totally opposite. And because that's what it is. When you're going out in the woods, 95% of the stuff that you find is nature related. And Dr. John and I had talked about it earlier, that's one of the big misconceptions, is a lot of fallen trees that may look like an X or a TV, that's just natural related, and a lot of people coin those as Bigfoot structures, and I just don't see that. I've never covered. Yeah, so that's what we do. Bill and I have the Bigfoot BS, Bill and Sam episode 1 through 10 that we did. It was a great thing where we interviewed several types of people. So we interviewed all walks of life, different people with different backgrounds, different job histories and whatnot, and we concentrated on basically around the Southwest Virginia area on season one. But, you know, it opened our eyes to a lot of possibilities that you need to keep an open mind about this, because one, nobody has any factual evidence that this creature exists. Period, point blank, there's no DNA evidence that we know of. You know, number two, who's to say that this couldn't be paranormal or alien related? You know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no reason that it cannot be. You know, and then there's other sides to this. There's mind speak and whatnot, which I don't agree with, or I don't subscribe to. But you know, that's what we do, guys. We go out and get together and we research. And the good thing is, a lot of us have different backgrounds, different knowledge we bring to the table, as well as like Bill Lancaster's wife, Amy. She knows a lot about plants. You know, just. Charlie Lawson is the master when it comes to all cryptids. That man knows anything and everything about cryptids. It's crazy. So he's our cryptid side of what we do. And then, of course, Matt Delph is just a researcher. And we get out, we go to different areas and interview people and film. And we make it fun and have a good time.
All right. Well, that sounds pretty interesting. Today, I was calling around on behalf of Charlotte CryptoCon, and I happened to call a store in Charlotte, and when I was explaining what the Charlotte CryptoCon is all about, the manager there, and I think she's the owner of the store, the first thing she piped up and said, well, I have had an encounter with Bigfoot. I said, really? Tell me about it. And she said that she and her family used to go camping in the Uaru National Forest, which is kind of between Charlotte and Pinehurst in Moore County and in that area. And she said that one night they were doing tent camping. They don't do tent camping anymore because of this event. They were there in a tent, and about 2 o'clock in the morning, something brushed up against their tent. She said it absolutely was not a deer. And they heard a two-footed creature coming toward them and leaving. She said, now, sure, it could be a bear. But that's not going to be, a bear is not going to just brush up against our tent and then leave. I said, well, not many that I know of. They're a little more active than that. So it's amazing.
Are you sure it wasn't her date?
She had her husband
and
her son.
Maybe it was a bear who was scared of commitment.
Yeah, it would be a crazy ex.
It's me outside of the tent going, rah.
I knew it, Dave. I knew it. It had to be.
But I can tell you, it's interesting.
It was smoking a big fat cigar. It was Dave.
Yeah, that's right. We probably was not Dave, because Dave probably hasn't been roaming around at 2 a.m. in the Uaru National Forest. But the whole
not without my glow sticks.
Not without your glow sticks. That's right. So many people.
and you read
and
pieces.
And this is part of my proof for
absolutely betrayal.
You know, it's part of my proof that says there really can be something out there, because too many people. What was Darth Bill saying? There've been 250,000 recorded sightings of Bigfoot over the last couple thousand years. So many people have seen something, and we don't know what it is. And Sam, why don't we ever get a picture of Bigfoot? Or we've got a couple.
Well,
we've got some footage.
Some
what's your advice on that?
Well, you know, a lot of the times when you see that people have blurry pictures and whatnot, okay, for one, they probably didn't catch anything at all. But two, if they did, the reason that those pictures are blurry, a lot of them, is because you're not prepared to take a picture of something while you're okay. First off, most of these encounters happen when just by chance. You're not expecting it to happen. Probably 99% of them actually happen that way, and the rest happen if you're out trying to look for Bigfoot. So now think about it. If you're out walking in let's say, out in the Northwest in a park somewhere, and you're walking around, more than likely, where's your cell phone? It's in your pocket. You don't really carry a camera around your neck anymore because, you know, we're in the, 2000s. So your phone's in your pocket. By the time you do see that creature, guys, you're you got to pull your phone out of your pocket, hit the button, turn it on, slide it, put the camera on, that thing's gone. So I think that's a lot of the reason why we don't get any pictures at all is because we're not really prepared at the time that it happens because it's a chance encounter. A lot of the witnesses that we talk to, that's how it happens, guys. It's just a chance encounter. Another reason I think that we don't have a real good picture of this creature is I think a lot of our researchers don't carry the right camera equipment, the correct camera equipment that you need. Plus, if it's going as fast. Yeah, well, you're looking at a 5 to 6 foot stride. I mean, that thing's gone in no time. I've never had the pleasure of seeing one. I've never had the pleasure of seeing one, but I have some close friends, Tracy Arnold and Michael Cook, that claim they have. And I believe them. And it's people like that that make me research, that gets me out in the woods looking for this thing. Do I have doubts that it doesn't exist? Sure, because I haven't seen it. But I have a lot of so-called evidence that points to this creature does exist. And it's exactly right. It's like Bill said, I think on your show, he said that a small amount of our wilderness is covered by game cameras, a very, very small amount. And if you go out in the woods, especially the forest that young lady was in where the creature brushed against her tent, there's probably no game cameras in that area, period. So think if all these areas were covered. Now, having that said, the best tool that we have right now in Bigfooting is the drone. And the DVI Mavic drone is probably the best out there right now. It has great capabilities, and I think that's the best tool that we have going, guys. I really do.
Too bad you can't get it drunk. That would be a sight, seeing a Bigfoot intoxicated.
Well,
wouldn't it though?
It
would.
That certainly would. But what I want to see is, and we just touched on this a little bit with Darth Bill the other week, is why aren't we using infrared cameras to sense heat with drones? I don't remember exactly where that part of the conversation went, but the fact is that should give us a little bit more insight and help us maybe find some of these things. Is that, Sam, you're out there doing research and you know what people are using. Is that something people are actually using now?
Oh, yeah. And that's where it's going. The technology, as it gets better by, the month rather than the year now, our capability to find this creature gets better. So, the forward-looking infrared radar, the FLIR, you can buy them now to put on your telephone. Not only see up to 40 yards, but it does see heat signatures quite clearly. And these drones with the FLIR capabilities of it, now they might be a little costly, but there you go. What you're getting is you're up above the canopy and you're able to see a vast amount of area, whereas one person on the ground can only see so much. So this eye in the sky is taking care of maybe 10 researchers all at one time. And that's why I think that tool is great. And the forward-looking, the FLIR, that's where it's at. That's how we catch this creature at nighttime, because it is primarily a nocturnal creature. There was one thing, I want to touch on something that might be a little off subject, but it was about 9 months ago up on High Knob, Virginia. We were always told that black panthers don't exist up there. And my brother-in-law has actually seen a black panther twice, and they have a cabin up there, as well as live very close to it. But we were out, just family riding around one day, and it was five of us in his Toyota truck, and this black panther jumped up. We were from right to left and landed on the road and turned and looked at us and then leaped up a six-foot embankment. Now, here's the creepy thing. It looked like it had a collar on. So, we were like, man, what, We knew what we saw, but the collar was what got us. Why would that thing have a collar, And they say they don't exist. So where I'm going with this is, my point is, if the Wildlife and Game Management says that these panthers and mountain lions don't exist up there, and we know they do. Then what's to say that a Bigfoot or Sasquatch, or in our area, the wood booger, who's to say the wood booger doesn't exist, you know, amongst other creatures? You know.
The Bigfoot could be taking the panther out for a walk.
Yeah, could be. But,
yeah,
hey, I know what we saw. Yeah, we all saw it. I mean, you know, for sure. So, I mean, it was clear as day. It was huge. Massive cat.
Like how big is a Black Panther? I don't know.
This thing, you know, like I said, it all happened within maybe 5 or 6 seconds. It was pretty quick. And I'd say it was every bit of at least 4 foot long. And the tail had to be at least 4 foot long. But, like I said, what stood out was... Do what?
That's a lot of Purina catch out to feed.
Goodness.
It probably was, you know. But there again, we were in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, it's just acres and acres of forest, you know. And it's, you know, and it's creepy at night, too, because, you know, you're up there and you hear these sounds and whatnot. It's funny, like Bill Lancaster, I'm going to quit calling him Darth Bill, you know, he was out with me one time, him and his wife, and they'd never heard barred owls. Well, we were walking down in the woods, and he was filming and doing his thing, and these barred owls started acting up. And they're real territorial birds anyways. And they started acting up, and two or three of them started getting, they were going pretty good, and they started sounding like monkeys. And he looked at me, and his look in his eye was like, oh, my gosh, he had never heard that before. And he said, you know what, Sam, if I didn't know any better, I would think those were monkeys down in the woods, and I can see where people get mistaken identity as a Bigfoot sound.
Hot tech,
who? Yeah, and, you
wow.
know, so... Yeah, and it's great, guys, because we get to educate kids, and we take them out on little expeditions, and we've got great seminars that we put on and great things for them to do. You know, we cast their foot and things like that. It's just, and I enjoy doing it, you know, and when the day comes that I get to see one, I'm excited. Yeah.
Okay.
So. Yeah, okay.
No, I mean, you know, look, I'm a liberal here. I think, you know, many things can be seen and many things can be out of there. If anyone would have ever told me some of the strange things that I've seen just off the boardwalk in Myrtle Beach, and I have pictures of them and strange things in the sky and everything, I would have said, well, you'd be crazy. But I've seen so much stuff over there. I've seen obviously the orange lights that late in the night that will fly around in the sky, and then they shoot straight up. I've seen those. I have had friends over here at my house watching those. I mean, there's so much that I've seen that I think we're starting to get a little bit desensitized to the whole thing in a way, because
oh,
I know
I saw
if I
pterodactyls
had one of the
spider webs over the weekend.
Do what?
I saw pterodactyls and spider webs over the weekend over there. That way.
All
kinds of stuff.
You're talking about in Myrtle Beach?
Oh yeah.
well, you saw a huge porcelain Bigfoot down there in the bottom of the Gay Dolphin, didn't you?
Yeah, boy, it had a big neck too.
Yeah, it did. That's a priceless picture. I told you I was going to be unleashing that on the world.
And the pterodactyl turned out to be a big mosquito.
Oh, it did. Okay.
So
Greg,
what? What are some of the panel's concerns? You know, do you guys not believe that there's something that may exist out there, or do you think that, you know, I know how Dr. John feels, but how does the rest of the panel feel, you know?
Dave?
Dave.
Dave, what do you think? It's your gang, Dave.
Get him, Dave.
Guys, I'm sorry. I was kind of checked out. I'm getting ready to leave work, and I was missing what you had. I'm sorry.
Get a Ray.
So the question is, the question is, Dave, why do you not believe in Bigfoot?
Why do I not believe in
it?
Yeah. Or do you?
Well.
And here we go.
Again, I got a letter from the Bigfoot community thanking me for my contributions, but asked me kindly to ease off the gas a little bit because I was breaking so many Sasquatch hearts out there. Many, many Bigfoot children were out crying in the streets after last week's show. So, but none of them were seen, of course. But nevertheless, okay, how can I do this without being totally demeaning? It's one of those ones that, again, when you take the amount of research, you take the amount of science that goes behind it, Bigfoot always seems to be, and it's not just Bigfoot alone, there's a couple other ones out there that just don't seem to have the credibility that other ones do. And what I mean by that is the research, the level of research, the level of science that goes into it. Again, we've got robots on Mars, but we can't find stuff on our own planet. But I did have an idea when we were talking earlier about different techniques and everything, and I know I crack the jokes about the glow sticks in the woods all the time, but the one thing that we have yet to do, we have yet to take a Bigfoot, like a decoy Bigfoot, and dress it up in some spandex and put some lipstick on it and stick it out there.
That'd be Anna Nicole, right?
You're going to Bugs Bunny plan now, Dave.
Just like on Tom and Jerry, you know what I mean? And maybe, possibly, this thing will come out of the woods, you know.
Give you a kiss.
Yeah, it worked for Bugs Bunny. Why wouldn't it work for us, you know?
Well, the idea of a decoy, that's not terribly far-fetched. That's not much more different than a scarecrow.
John!
It's not.
And there's John justifying me being a jerk. I love this guy.
Boy, Bigfoot would be—you would be a hit with the Nair commercials, wouldn't he?
Okay. Maybe so. All right, Greg Bo, you're up there in Easley, and you're up there near the hills. What are you thinking about all this? You got any opinions?
Well, here's my thing. I believe that they're finding new species all the time. I know I've been on there and talked about it before. They're finding new species all the time and everything else. So, I don't know, man. I get what Dave says a lot of the time about, you know, the evidence not being there and with modern technology and everything. But, if you just look at the expanses, like I said, you know, driving back from down in the lower part of the state, all the swamp land that's down there, stuff can go miss. And science is finding new things all the time. So I'm trying to be nice and kind of give the benefit of the doubt here on that one. On Bigfoot.
Okay. All right.
I didn't know there was a bionic Bigfoot.
Yeah, he was cool.
No. That's exactly right. All right, Papa Stro. Hot seat.
Well,
what do you think?
I think I mentioned this when Darth Bill was on the show. A lot of times, I'll throw it again, I guess. But a lot of reasons I feel that why we haven't seen any evidence of a Bigfoot, because a mortal creature has to eat, has to sleep, has to use the bathroom, has to do certain things that we would find remains for, whether they pass on or are living or surviving in the wilderness or in the world in general, and we haven't seen any of that. And my theory is these things that these Bigfoot sightings and Sasquatch sightings and so forth, and back to a lot what you were saying, Sam, before about why certain pictures are blurry and they're very clear on the Bigfoot photos, Sasquatch photos. My theory is they're not mortal. These things are not, whatever they are, they're not mortal. And I mentioned the theory on the last show with Darth Bill about, I don't know if you've heard a term about the Nephilim, which is a biblical term in the Bible about back during Noah's time, there were these beings called the Nephilim that were half angel and half human. And a lot of your Egyptian gods with animal heads and human bodies were the Nephilim, and the Egyptians worshipped these things like they were gods. And supposedly during Noah's time, when there were a great flood and everything, the Nephilim was wiped out and so forth. But fast forward to today, what we could be seeing today and these sightings and stuff could be descendants of that Nephilim. And back then, during that time, Nephilim was known in biblical times as giants, with the
correct
animal heads and the human-shaped bodies. And it could very well possibly be that we're seeing descendants of an ancient civilization of a spiritual being.
That's interesting.
Yeah, you'd mentioned that. And it's – okay, Sam, many of the Bigfoot researchers, would they – give credence to the paranormal aspect like Papa Stroh has just mentioned, or would they say, oh gosh, you know, it's going to be something that's about as normal as us? How would they take that explanation?
Oh, that is part of the Bigfoot culture that goes along with, first off, I love everybody's answers, even Mr. Atwell. So thank you guys for those answers. And I'll give some rebuttal here in a minute. But what was the question again?
I said, what do you think about the Nephilim idea and the fact that they're – what would your research group say about that explanation?
Well, you know, it's a possible theory, okay? My group within the Mountain Empire, we wouldn't, you know, we go more for the scientific side of it. That doesn't mean that we're not open to any possibilities, which that's what I'm getting at. There's several different, what you could say, groups or sections within the big community. And at times, there's a lot of drama that goes with that, and they're fighting with one another. But along with Papa Stroh says that, you know, you have Dr. Johnson, you know, in the Pacific Northwest that claims, you know, that Bigfoot's come through a portal. Also, that there's been seen in his area something opening up and these two creatures standing at the side and Bigfoot's coming in and out. I don't personally believe that, but just because I didn't see it doesn't mean it didn't happen. There's people out there that say there's 18, 20-foot tall Bigfoots. I haven't seen it, but does that mean it's not possible? Well, I don't know. It could be alien-related. A lot of reports and sightings have that blue balls of light that follow these Bigfoots during their reports, or there'll be Bigfoot reports with UFOs above. I mean, who's to know? There's a good possibility. That's why I liked everybody's answers, even David's, because this creature may not even exist. So he could be hitting the nail on the head. But
yeah,
there's a lot of us out there that think differently, you know.
It could be one bad movie. George Lucas is ribbing it.
Like I said, though, there is nothing grander than discovery. You know what I mean? A discovery is a fantastic thing. I mean, remember the excitement when they found the Titanic. You know, I mean, the stuff, anything that is discovered, even when these, you know, there's this article I was reading just here recently, where this little girl was standing out in the pond and found that sword just the other day. And I mean, that kind of stuff is fantastic. And I'll be dead honest with you, there's nobody out there would love to see Bigfoot be real than me, because I love being wrong. And
Leonardo was like, I got to roll.
Let's win.
Yeah, and for as many people back in the day thought the world was round or the world was flat, all right, I would have been one of those guys. I would have been one of those guys that said, nah, go on and sail around the side of the planet, you nitwit. That ain't no sweat. Knock yourself on out. See on the other side. And bigger than anything, Magellan did it. You know what I mean? So could it be there? Yeah. And I'd be beyond excited to see it. But it's so far out compared to some of these other ones.
Yeah.
Like Columbus.
Of course, I'm waiting for, to go home, and I'll have like 10 Bigfoots around my house with protest signs. You know, we are here, Dave.
Yeah,
like I said, Bigfoot lives matter.
So easy a Bigfoot could do it.
Well, Dave, I like your point about discovery, and I want to make a point. We all, until today, I had always thought the Ark of the Covenant was something that has not been specifically found. And I found out, much to my surprise, there is a small church in Ethiopia where
right,
it is
that's supposed to be holding on to it. Yes, sir.
That the monks
sure, Indiana
are
Jones.
There watching it. I always thought that the Ark of the Covenant was something we'd never found. And lo and behold, to my surprise, there is a group of people that say it's down there. Now, getting in there to see it is a different story. Good Lord have mercy. But that's the point. It's interesting what we just, kind of run across. And I never knew that there was a church down there that claimed to have the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ten Commandments are claimed to be there. Now, that's
okay,
that might
Jones,
be a stretch.
On your potatoes.
That's right.
Yeah, now, and here's another aspect that I brought up with at work the other day, because, the guys over here at work listen to the show. I can't imagine why, of course, but nevertheless, they listen to the show. And, we were talking about it, and I says, in the event that somebody ever does legitimately walk up on a Bigfoot, or what I said, the multiple of a Bigfoot would be Big Fetus, of course, but nevertheless.
Like Monty Python, right, with a Bigfoot comes down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So whoever comes up on this thing to legitimize it, you would almost have to kill it. The only way to study it, to a certain extent, from a forensic aspect of it, I just don't see where the science and society coming together on, I find a Bigfoot, I hit him with the same stuff Bill Cosby hit with his dates. I knock Bigfoot out. I tie it down, and I run tests on it. Now, somebody out there is going to say, Dave, you can't do that. That's what Bill Cosby did. No, but they're going to say, you can't do that. There's going to be people out there, scientists and researchers, that say,
oh, yeah,
it's not humane, it's not right. So now you have the choice. Put a bullet in the thing and drag it out of the woods like you do a deer.
I love to see a Bigfoot run through the woods like the old man intro from Monty Python and go right to the camera and say, it's.
Okay. So you put a bullet in a 7 to 8 foot tall creature with 4 foot wide shoulders. So your next question is, and this has gone through my mind, who do you tell? So if you really shot one of these creatures and you want to take it out, first off, how are you going to take it out? This thing's so big, you'd have to put it on some type of a flatbed trailer in order to get it out.
Like Bobcat Goldthwait. That didn't hurt.
Yeah, but where would you take it? Who would you tell? Because, or has this happened already? this could have happened already. Somebody takes it out, the government is going to cover this up, right? Because you'd have every trophy hunter in the world wanting to bag a big, you know.
Well, that's just it. You would have to find a way to get it out of there. I mean, Native Americans hunted bison for years, and they found a way to get those bisons back, and those things were huge. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, hey, it didn't say it was going to be easy, but what I'm saying is until one of these things is actually on a slab, dead or alive, what are we going to do with it? And going back to my giant squid thing, you know, giant squid were nothing but legend. They were nothing but legend and myth until one of them died and washed up on the shore, at which time
like
they
a James
took
Bond movie.
Dead squid. Right. And they put it on a slab and started running, you know, different types of forensic tests on it and everything. And bigger than anything, they started exploring the ocean there in that region where they found that giant squid. And what did they find floating around? More giant squid. So my point is that if you happen to be, right, if you happen to be that one guy who was able to take down a Bigfoot for any reason at all, how are we going to take that next step? You know,
where's Han
what would
Solo
be
when you
sense?
Need him to hunt down Bigfoot?
Yeah, Wookiees are real. That's a different thing.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's true.
We know Dave. Wookiees on the movies. I've seen them.
Yep. Drones and Bigfoot. That'll be the next Star Wars movie.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I don't know that I've ever seen Bigfoot even on a screen in the movies. Or have I?
When Harry met the Hendersons. Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah, Harry and the Hendersons.
I'm just wild about Harry, and Harry's just
okay.
Wild about me.
All right.
Well, think about this for a minute. Have you ever seen Bigfoot and Chewbacca in the same place at the same time?
That's true.
Well, could have been. I mean.
No, but it is known that when Chewbacca, when they were filming, you know, the indoor forest scenes, that, you know, Chewbacca had to have four personnel with him at all times, and they had to wear arms so he wouldn't get shot at.
Yeah, let's
well,
not
believe that.
And also,
wow.
He needs to just be glad it wasn't Bigfoot mating season.
They may have thought he was
fried
with any which way but loose, Clint Eastwood.
Right turn, Clyde.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting to contemplate all this. It really is.
Rangatang.
And, and so what we'll do is I see now that Will Williams has come on. Will, are you there?
I am. What's up, guys?
Hey, Will.
What up?
Happy to be here.
Good to have you with us, Will. Yeah.
You know what? When I got on, you know what the first thing I heard was?
What?
Dave referring to Bill Cosby.
Hello, innocent pudding.
That was the first sentence I heard was, exactly what Dave said.
Wow.
I'm glad I could contribute to your evening. Yeah.
Yeah. I said to myself,
hey, what do you say?
This is going to be one hell of a show.
Yes.
Well, all I got to say is we don't have Whoopi Goldberg on here, and this is not the view. It's absolutely not.
Whoopi
Goldberg and the View. That's right. But yeah. Yeah.
I'm
Sam,
drinking my Chewbacca Star Wars coffee cup right now as we speak.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Chewie, what's up?
Well, Sam, I'll tell you this, Sam. It is problematic to just, you know, what do you do? What do you do if you find one? That's actually probably something that you folks have discussed, right?
Oh yeah, we've discussed it a few times, and you know, before you go on to the next guest, and I can't wait to hear him. I want to say this, and I'll leave everybody with this.
one thing that this has done for me personally has brought me together with a lot of good people and a lot of good friends, and Bill Lancaster being one of them. And,
yeah.
I mean, I feel like he's like a brother to me. And through thick and thin, you know, we've been there together. We may not see eye to eye on a lot of things, but our end goal, the big picture, we have the same goal. And same with Charlie Lawson and Matt Delf. So this, if anything, if this creature is not real, what is real is the friendships that I've gotten out of this. And the last thing
that
I want to do what?
No, that's an excellent point. Well done.
Yeah, and the last thing is, think about it, guys. We're a minute speck here on Earth out in the whole entire universe. There's got to be other stuff out there. There has to be other things going on that we can't perceive yet. When our great-grandfathers were growing up, they were always told that nobody would ever go to the moon. My good friend Steve Shaky Peck told me, you know, that his grandfather smacked his great-grandfather smacked a magazine or a little comic book of Buck Rogers out of his hand and said, "What are you doing, boy? We'll never go into space. That's crazy stuff." And here we are today. We're in space. You know, I mean, it's just stuff like that. And thank you guys for having me on, and I'm looking forward to the next guest.
Yeah,
good
well,
to have you on.
We're glad to have you here. And
yeah, thanks
and,
for
you
being
know,
here,
was,
man.
You know, it's always good to hear people talk, and I think we know it's interesting what sides people take in this. And you know, I can tell you one thing: I've had a blast, like being with Phasma Paranormal from Conway, South Carolina. They were so much fun when we did an overnight at Grace on Second in Wilmington at that restaurant. You know, part of it was the exploration of trying to see if we could find some ghosts or some ghostly occurrences, but the other one was just all the fun that we had. And the fact is, we had the editor of the Port City Daily with us, and I didn't know him very well. By the end of the night, by the time the sun came up, we were all pretty good friends. And there's a lot to be said for that, and a lot about exploring together and working. And so if that is what comes out of this, until we find or do not find, well, I don't know if we can ever not find Bigfoot, until we find him or keep looking, then there's a lot to be said for that. And Sam, I guess you agree with that, don't you?
Oh, wholeheartedly. Yeah, I agree with it 100%. Yeah, I sure do. Sure do, Dr. Nelson.
Yeah, and so we will see what happens, and who knows what will happen between now and CryptoCon, or between now and Bigfoot Day celebration. Well, I'll tell you, here we are. He's got his own day now. It's October the 20th, and for something that might not exist, he's sure getting played up a lot. I'll leave it at that. I think it's we'll keep it in a positive mode there, because we're going to celebrate Bigfoot for a day and a half at Bays Mountain Park in Kingsport, Tennessee. Sam, you'll be there, right?
Oh, yes, sir. It's going to be a great day. You know, the kids will be able to come out and get their picture with Billy the Bigfoot and be able to have some fun activities going on throughout the park, as well as in the center there. And, you know, Dr. John, you've got a great thing going on there, and I'm just a pleasure to be part of that, as well as us, as well as the members of the Micro team. I can speak on behalf of them. We're excited for this day.
Well, I am too. And who knows? We don't know where it will lead, but we will follow, and we will go wherever it takes us, right?
I think it's going to be a blast, to be honest with you. I think we're going to have a lot of good times.
I think it is too. And if,
oh, yeah.
And if Bigfoot doesn't exist, we sure are celebrating the heck out of him. So,
Bigfoot means I could get out of town and get a beer in me, man. Bigfoot, amen. Right on, man.
I love his way of thinking.
Well, you know, there's a lot of interest. There are many different sides to this. Our friends at Antler Hill Arts Greg Bowe, thank you for introducing me to Antler Hill. They are coming up to Kingsport, Tennessee to play in the amphitheater at Bays Mountain Park. And had we not had Comic-Cons, we all met at a Comic-Con, we would not be here.
Yep.
We would not be planning events like this. So the search for Bigfoot may be – there is the search for the animal or the legend or whatever it is, but there's also the fellowship and the things that have occurred along with it. Because I can tell you, I know Spider-Man's not real, but we sure do celebrate him at our Comic-Cons, and it's brought every one of us together. We would not be here were it not for a Comic-Con and going to our first one. So I think I'm going to put the search for Bigfoot means a lot more than just finding the animal. It is fellowship. It's about culture. It's about doing things together and just seeing what
Harry
develops. So Sam, thank you
for
the journey. You're right.
Yeah, I take issue with that, John. Spider-Man not being real.
Yeah.
Real to
That's
me.
News to me.
Okay. Well,
Wait a minute, then we better not
talk about Dracula. we will get in trouble if we start talking about Dracula not being real. Now, come on.
Yeah, especially
so
those fangs.
I know, Sam. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been great. You're welcome to hang out here with us. We're going to talk to our buddy Will Williams. Will, I called you yesterday because I said, I'd love to have you on there. You just recently won your film. No Child has recently won Best Film. It's a 46-minute, basically, hour-long television pilot, but it won Best Feature Film at the Hope Film Festival. Is that correct?
Yeah, it sure did. It was quite a surprise. What's cool about it, you know, with that film being that length, it's an awkward length when it comes to film festivals, because a lot of times with short films, the sweet spot's like 8 to 12 minutes typically, and a feature film is, you know, typically what you go to a theater and see 90 minutes or more. And so a lot of times at festivals, No Child will qualify for, because each festival is different, you know, they might say 50 minutes and under is a short, 50 and over, they might say 40. It varies from festival to festival. But it puts our film kind of at a disadvantage when it comes to the competition phase, because it's such an awkward length that, you know, people watch it and they say, well, this is really long for a short film. And apparently, I think it was 40 minutes and over qualified for feature film. And when it comes to the feature film category, we're automatically at a disadvantage in the competition, because judges are going to say, hey, well, their film's only 40-something minutes long. It's good, but what about this film that was 90 minutes? They put so much more into it. And so you're kind of against, you know, to start off with, you're already against the odds. But the good thing is, you know, it's quite an honor to win that award, being that it's 43 minutes, you know, because we were able to pack in all the key components and touch the viewers enough that, you know, they thought we were deserving of it. And what I didn't know until later was that festival actually had 6,500 entries.
Wow.
So there was probably, I don't know how many categories exactly, maybe 15. You know, you got best feature, best short, best cinematography, best actor, all that. And, you know, so not all 6,500 were for feature film, but it's just an honor to, you know, I don't care about the award. It's just the validation of it, that it at least meant something to somebody, a viewer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't know if you guys are the same way, like Dave, with your writing. But, like, I always feel like when I'm creating something, when I'm in that creative phase and it's only to myself, I feel like I'm like, man, this idea is brilliant. It's awesome. It's the best thing ever. And then as soon as I get done with it, I'm like, this is horrible. I should have done this. I should have done that. I don't know. Dave, do you feel that way, like, when you write a book?
Yeah, I've said more than once. The funny story is that my folks, God bless them, they're the best folks on the planet, but they're both very squared away, professional. You know, mom's a retired school teacher, dad's a retired sergeant major. These are very successful people, and, you know, they walked the line, they did their jobs, they behaved themselves, and they were successes. So when I said I was going to write a book, out of all the people I know who cheered me on, my folks were the first two that said, this is the dumbest idea you've ever done. You know, this is close to, the bungee jumping thing. You know what I mean? And it's funny how there was a couple months there where I just didn't even want to talk to them. And as things started going on, and the book series was picking up steam and this, that, and the other is happening, you know, they came around, and now they're some of the best supporters I had. But I told them, I remember telling my dad, I says, you don't realize the amount of sack that it takes to put something out there. You know, these guys that go on American Idol, you know.
Yeah.
You know, every time Greg Bo draws something and puts it out there, you know, he's just waiting on somebody to walk by and say, geez, you run out of toilet paper? You know,
exactly.
Bro, every time you get in the ring, you're worried somebody's going to call you a sellout. You know what I mean? So when you go out there on the national and the global stage, because everything you do now is global because of the internet, for crying out loud. When you go out there and it takes an enormous, insane amount of guts to put something out there. So to Will's point, when, you know, you take this movie at 46 minutes, and like I said, it's an awkward time for a movie, or I use movie, I'll use the word film better yet. You're putting it out there, and when people recognize it and it wins awards you're not expecting, all of a sudden, you kind of have that moment where you kind of lean back when nobody's looking and you thump on your chest a little bit and go, that's why I do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, yeah, but every book, and going back to my Jack the Ripper book, I thought that was going to be the career killer. And I even told my brother that when I was done. I says, man, either this book is going to make it, or it's going to be the one that just totally puts me out of commission and I'll be riding the back of a garbage truck till I'm 72. But that Jack the Ripper book was the one. Everybody says the same things. Hey, we love the first two books, but that third, that Jack the Ripper book, man, what in the hell is going on in your head? I mean, that thing was spot on. So, again, the one that I thought was going to sink my battleship turned out to be the one that won the game for me. So, yeah, hats off to Will, you know, his ability for doing what he's doing.
Yeah,
you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I feel like when it comes to when I've auditioned for things, like commercials, the times when I felt like I did great, I never hear anything back. And it's the times when I'm like, driving home and I'm like, I did horrible. And that's the one I always will get the, I'll book the job.
Yeah.
You know, I was just going to say,
you know, I often tell people that, you know, being creative is a blessing and a curse, because, you know, I believe that we are, you know, we're blessed with these creative gifts, but the curse is as creative people, we never get to see our work in our lifetimes. We never get to see our work the way other people see our work.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
I totally agree.
I saw a brilliant quote. It was regarding, you know, authors of novels, but I think it applies to every artistic venture, and it says, a novel is never finished only abandon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
so true.
True.
You can sit there and nitpick every little thing, and when you're writing a book, you can change this, change that, but eventually you got to abandon it, and you got to let it out. Same with a film, a drawing, anything.
Mm-hmm. You know, funny story about that is when I wrote all three books, and actually even the fourth one, when it went into production, and my publisher at the time said, well, I need a synopsis for the back cover of the book. And I said, okay, no sweat. I flipped my computer on. I said, I'll have it to you in 20 minutes. I flip my computer on. I sit down, and I go, I don't know where the hell to start. I wrote 105,000 words about the book, but I couldn't write a two-paragraph synopsis of it because it took me 105,000 words to write the book to start with. How am I going to squish it into two paragraphs? And you ask any author out there, they'll tell you, you can't write your own synopsis. You got to have somebody else read it and write it for you, because it's about the only way to pull it. Because, you know, you see something a certain way, be it going through an interview or whatever, and, you know, like Greg Bowe says, what you think is diamonds, you set it out there and somebody's going, dude, your arm bothering you? You know, it's, you know, you never can tell. So, yeah, it does. It's a strange feeling, and unless you've been in the spot, either singing in front of people or acting in front of people or writing or, you know, art or whatever, it's an odd feeling. You know what I mean? It's you can't put a word on it.
You know what it is like, I grew up playing sports, and that's all I did. And I feel like at the end of the game, you know how you did. In a baseball game, you know, all right, I didn't hit well. I didn't, you know, field well. But with art, you never really know because it's so subjective.
Yeah, there's no measure.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so not everybody, you know, if you go out in a basketball game and score 60 points, most of the people that are watching are going to be like, well, wow, that was one hell of a performance.
Right.
But with anything artistic, no matter what you do, there's going to be people that love it and people that don't love it. And
yeah,
that's something I've had.
I mean, how many
times,
you know, you've looked at art, for crying out loud, and you've got, you know, Greg Bowe will sit down for an hour, hour and a half, and put together something that's just totally amazing. And you're like, wow, you know, that's crazy. And he's sitting there at the con, you know, hoping somebody will come by and buy prints or whatever. And, you know, you go home from the con and you're looking at the news and somebody took a dachshund and dunked him in some bear paint and had him run across a canvas, and the damn thing sold for, you know, $205 million.
Don't get me started,
you know,
on that.
I mean,
oh, dear Lord.
Yeah. So, you know, again, it's one of those things where, you know, it's all about the right place, right time, but if you're not putting your heart into it, and more importantly, not putting your balls into it, then you're in the wrong sport. Go out there and do a 9-to-5, you know?
That's 100% correct.
I agree. Stro, do you feel that way a lot of times, like when it comes to wrestling? You know, because that's an art form too, you know? Like, were there times after each match where you're like, man, I should have, did I pull it off? Did I not pull it off? Should I have done this instead of that?
Oh, yes, all the time. I'm on Worst Critic. Because it's always like little things that you think back on. It's like, maybe I shouldn't have done this a certain way, or that a certain way would have been better, or enhanced it a little bit more, et cetera. So, yeah, I totally concur, man. I totally know how I feel.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're even a good example, too. I mean, if you watch your matches are entertaining, all right? But then you turn around and you look at somebody like Hulk Hogan. And I remember when they had the wrestling games come out, and they said every wrestler is going to have 40 moves. And I said, oh, well, they must have invented 37 for Hogan, you know.
Atwell.
You know what I mean? And here's a guy who just – he's a cartoon. I mean, the guy can't wrestle. You know, if you ever saw him fight a luchador, the timing was just ungodly. I mean, why he didn't go in the locker room and just pack his bags up and say, I'm out. You know, he has the most ineffective move in professional wrestling, the leg drop. I've had, I don't know how many people leg drop me just to see if it would hurt. It never has. And I've had them big, small, in between. I've had two people at a time. Hey, both of you guys leg drop me real quick. And it never hurts. But here's this guy who is the number two guy in wrestling history, right behind, big man, Ric Flair. Ric Flair is the real deal, but there's Hogan. Why do I say that? Is because if you watch the Ric matches, they're entertaining. You can see where the guy is trying. You can see where the guy is taking it. Whether he gets pinned or he gets his arm raised, that guy is all ball in there. Whereas Hogan, on the other hand, you could tell he doesn't like to get hit. He doesn't like to be on the end of the shots. He's got to be the man. So going back to Stroh's thing, I sit down and watch his matches, and I'm going, wow, how did Hogan get famous and Stroh not be right behind him or right beside him? You know what I mean? So
it's funny you should say that. You know, Ric Flair talks about certain people that let him chop him. Like it's that he'll like Mick Foley let him chop him, and Undertaker every now and then let him chop him, in friggin' Steamboat and all that. But when it comes to Bret Hart, he always asks Bret Hart, and Bret Hart gives him the same response. And there's Rick doing Bret. It's like, oh, do we have to?
But I would dare say, though, to guys like us, and when I say guys like us, we're not household names by any stretch of the imagination, but I could tell you, everything we do has got every bit of heart into it. And if you ask me, I would rather have that. I would rather have the genuine effort and the genuine heart and soul that went into something, be it acting, singing, art, whatever. I would rather have that than something disingenuous who just took my money. You know what I mean?
And there's more fulfillment to you as a person, you know, when your heart's in it.
Oh, easy.
Try.
You know, that's huge.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can tell some people use fine oils to create their story, and some using crayon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yep. I love that. I'm seeing that quote.
Yeah. I mean, but again, it's another one of those things where whenever I see, like, remakes of movies going on out there, you know, I hear they're trying to make another Halloween movie, okay? Now I dig scary movies. I don't find Halloween to be a scary movie because all you gotta do is run. Don't look back. Don't get in the dark places.
Like Boston. Don't look back.
If there's a creepy sound, don't go investigate. Run. Nevertheless, they're out there making this movie again for the 9 millionth time, and I'm going, you know, there are writers out there, there are actors out there, there are directors and producers out there who have fresh, novel ideas. Why are we doing remakes? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why are we concentrating on remakes? Why are we building scripts around certain A-list actors? You know, I go back to the casting as Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern. Was he the right guy? No, he wasn't the right guy.
No.
But you only put him in there because he was an A-list at the time. And I think it took that for somebody to finally wake up and cast him as Deadpool, which turned out to be a perfect fit
but
for
whoever,
him.
Whoever booked What's-His-Face to be Batman and should be smacked in the face. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, too.
I agree.
Yeah, Affleck. Like a duck. Affleck.
But there's so much fresh material out there that could be used, and people look over it. And, you know, going back to No Child, that's the thing that impressed me when I watched it. It was something that I'd never seen. You know what I mean? It was something that I was watching an actor that I had never seen, and I was totally impressed. And I'm watching something that is not commonplace. It's something new. It was something refreshing. And even the Carrington event that night, we watched that too. It was something else. You know, it was like, wow, this is different. This is something else. And why the entertainment industry doesn't dig a little deeper and try to reach out for those types of storylines and everything, it's beyond me. Always has been since I started doing it.
Yeah, and I think it that's why you're starting to see a lot more of the big A-listers doing these random independent films, because, you know, these remakes, they're mainly just for money. You know, like, the studios know, hey, we could put a piece of crap out there, but we know for a fact this amount of people are going to show up and go watch it. And they turn it into a profit just like that. But a lot of these actors that really have their heart into it, they're trying to get away from that, and they're looking for the juicy, like you said, Dave, the stuff you really haven't seen yet. You know, the fresh material, and there's so much of it out there, and it is a sad thing that it's not being push more, that the entertainment industry is more geared towards the dollar, but it's the guys in the suits that are
signing the
checks.
Yep.
Yeah. But hopefully that will change.
Because that's something I've said about this new Walking Dead that they've got out there, that Fear of the Walking Dead. It's not that it's a bad show, but there's no characters on there that are very endearing. And when you watch The Walking Dead, when you watch The Walking Dead, when you watch that pilot episode, the first one, when Rick wakes up, you know, he's in the squad car talking to Shane about him and his wife. And then Shane's talking about him and his girlfriend, and they're carrying any guy. There's not one of us out there who haven't sat with one of the guys and complained about our wives or our girlfriends or whoever. We all do it. But in the end, we all go home at night, but nevertheless. So here's these two guys shooting the breeze, and then all of a sudden this guy comes up, Rick gets shot. He wakes up in the hospital, all right? That pilot episode from the part of him wandering through and going, because the first thing he does is go back home. Who wouldn't do that out of all of us?
Yep.
You know what I mean? You know, he goes back home, and then, you know, he runs up on Morgan, and Morgan's got his son, and I'm sorry, there's that bond between a father and son. So there's his wife right outside in zombie form, and Morgan still can't pull the trigger on her. You know what I mean? So you endear yourself to Morgan. You endear yourself to Dwayne, his son. They are still living in their house with zombified mom walking around the outside of it. You endear yourself to these guys because you could feel it. You know what I mean? There's something there, you know, Rick. You know, you can endear yourself to this guy because you can feel it. So, with this new Fear of the Walking Dead come on, none of these characters have anything to attach themselves to. You know, they're all flawed, and they're all flawed beyond – they're not flawed like he cusses too much, or he's flawed like, you know, he's too honest or something like that. They're flawed because they're just scrub of human beings. So you're watching it, and though it's not a bad show, you just can't get your arms around it because the characters are just horrible. So, you know, again, it's another one of those things where, you know, recycled ideas. You know, are you going to take it to the next level, or are you just going to do something else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree, man.
That's true.
But yeah, there's so much out there right now that that they can grab hold of. But, you know, like Will said, it's all about the money. It's all about the quick buck. It's not about the – what's the word I'm looking for? I don't think a whole lot of movie makers concentrate on Oscars. I really don't. I think if they win them, so be it. You know what I mean? But I don't think, you know, and granted, money makes the world go around. I get that. But, again, you know, if you write a book and the book has some substance to it, and I don't know, I get a better feeling knowing I sold 10 books that actually has something in it versus selling 100 books for something I just scribbled down. And, you know, not to bash the fan fiction side of things, but fan fiction basically is writing a story and inserting names. You don't have to really, if you write a Star Wars novel, you really don't have to do any character development. Why? Because we already know who Han Solo is. We already know who Luke is and Chewbacca and everybody. But I say it all the time about my books. For as many people out there that can't write a 1,000-word essay about Julius Caesar, I wrote almost 500,000 words on stuff that doesn't exist. So,
hey, has anybody kept any track of like a statistics or something of how many times Chewbacca's name has been mentioned tonight?
Well, go back and do the official Chewbacca count.
It is astronomical.
I know Bill Cosby was mentioned 3 times by Dave.
That's awesome.
Bill and the Mickey. That's what we need out there hunting Bigfoot, though. Get Bill out there. I mean, for God's sake, if he's going to be a creep, let's put him to use. Let's get some use out of
him. Yeah, have him and Bigfoot do the Jell-O Instant Pudding commercial.
You know, put the Mickey, yeah. Scotch tape those Mickey's to some foot pop, set them out randomly in the woods.
That's how you can capture Bigfoot. Jell-O instant pudding.
With Mickey's.
Yeah.
I don't know that Bigfoot would even eat Jell-O instant pudding. That stuff is pretty nasty. I mean, it really is.
Try it.
I don't know,
ever
man.
Since
this
I found out about Bill, I don't eat him no more.
He's probably cost him some money.
He
probably has. Well, Will, I want to say congratulations for what you've done, and you sparked some really interesting debate and conversation here. And we thank you for being on here, because as Papa Stroh would do, you're welcome. It's about the time we round up with everybody, see what we've got to promote and see what we've got coming up. So, Greg Bowe, what you got coming up?
Yep.
You want to promote?
Well, this weekend on Sunday, I have Florence Comic Con coming up down in Florence, beautiful Florence, South Carolina. Of course, we've all been watching the, tracking the hurricane and seeing how that's going to affect everything. And it looks, while we were talking, I got an email from the show promoter, and she said she's made the decision to go ahead with it based on weather reports and checking with people down there. And so we're going to see, but it should be a great time. I look forward to it.
Awesome. Absolutely. All right. Well, that's great. We will all see Greg Bowe at the Florence Comic Con. Papa Stroh, what you got coming up?
Well, UPWA Pro Wrestling Saturday night, National Guard Army, Wilmington, North Carolina, bell time 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then Sunday I'll be joining a party with my brother Greg Bowe, Dr.
Rock
John,
and, roll.
Right, and Florence Comic-Con, AIMT building from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Can't wait. It's going to be a great
time.
You're
going to be a cosplay. You're going to be a cosplay judge, too, at the time.
Yes, I can't wait. It, as Papa Stroh it, with Dorothy, it's going to be great.
That's going to be incredible.
My goodness. My goodness. Dave Atwell, what you got?
Yes, sir. Well, first thing off, before I even hit on that, Monday, you guys made my day, and the background story for everybody listening is I had a miserable day at work. Imagine that. And as I'm walking out of the door, I hear, hey, and I turn around and look, and who's standing behind me? Dr. John. And Dr. John and Stroh, Pearl Harbor guy, came down there, surprised me, made my day, come by to see an old guy. So that was a fantastic and much appreciated surprise Monday. That made my day. So and it's always good to see you guys. So much love,
always, brother.
Much love to you. And but yeah, Crystal Coast Con, September 23rd at MacDaddy's. We'll be there. Getting it on down there and having a good time. And then the following weekend, this old man's going to try to do two shows in 1 week. So we'll see how it goes. But
wow,
I will be holding up the bar at Sticky Fingers in Concord Mills while Brother Stroh is out there spinning the tales of his wrestling days. So in the event you see some ugly guy with a set of glasses on that's kind of lurching on the side of the bar, come on and join me for a drink. And then and I'm always accepting any cigar donations you might have laying around that you don't want. So and then October 1st, of course, CryptoCon, where I'm really looking forward to getting out there and shaking hands with everybody. And you know, the best thing about these shows is that regardless of the business aspect of it, it's always, I always look forward to seeing everybody. I know that sounds funny, but I always look forward to seeing everybody. And you know, for those of us to bring our kids out there and wives and everything, it becomes kind of a family thing. So
right.
Really looking forward to that and having the whole crowd out there again. So, yeah, CryptoCon. And then Jacksonville, home court. Mm. November 4th, Prime You Livers. We're going to be getting it down on November 3rd, 4th, and 5th here in Jacksonville.
Yes, we are.
So
oh, it's gonna,
that one's going to get rowdy.
Man,
I'm going to make sure it does.
That sounds great. Well, Dave Atwell, you just came up with my laundry list of what we've got going on right now. We're packing the vendors in for CryptoCon and getting vendors for Jacksonville. Then hopefully we'll all be in North Myrtle Beach on December the 2nd. And December 1st is going to be Papa Stroh, a night with Papa Stroh on December the 1st in North Myrtle Beach. Now, just remember, we're going to have a night with Papa Stroh on November the 3rd at Logan's Roadhouse in Jacksonville, where he will be telling his stories. And then, of course, as we mentioned, Charlotte CryptoCon, Papa Stroh will be kicking the thing off on Saturday night. That's going to be a blast, and we're going to have a lot of fun there. And we've had a lot of fun tonight. We've learned a lot about each other, and it's always an experience being on Comic-Con Stars. And I guess since this is our 53rd show, this is our one-year anniversary, and I want to thank Papa Stroh for originally coming on and agreeing to be a co-host with me. And then Dave Atwell had him on there, and I said, well, I guess we just got to keep him. And then, of course, Greg Bowe has joined us now, and we're going to have a blast. We're looking forward to a great second year with the best hosting crew in America. And I want to say thanks to everybody. My Comic-Con Stars year has been fantastic. Will Williams, thank you for being here on our one-year anniversary show. And Sam Deloach, Mr. Bigfoot, glad to have everybody here. We've had a wonderful time. So with about 2 minutes left to go, I'm going to say thanks. We'll see everybody this weekend at Florence Comic-Con. And have a great week and stay dry, okay?
All right.
Thank you,
John. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
Good night.
Everybody right, be good. Safe out there. Watch that wind.
Y'all too, guys. All right. Take care, guys. Have fun.
All right. Safe travels.
Awesome.
We'll keep it together, buddy.